First of all, thank you, Yeshua. And to all of Chavayim, Chavayrus here, to Rav Shub, my dear friend. A couple of the Chavayim back in Woodmere are asking me, where am I running off to? There's so many things going on now. And somebody said, why are you going to Great Neck? What's in Great Neck? And I just looked at him and I said, I can't explain what's there. But I'm not just going for the Jews there, I'm going for myself. Because this is not about another shiur, another lecture, a shmooze. This is about being back with my family, who I miss. And for me it's a tremendous schus to be back with you here and to see you. I know that at least this time of the year, which is the most holy and precious time of the year, I get to see you. We should be together in Yerushalayim, Bezrat Hashem. So I got permission from Yeshua to talk in Ashkenazis. Is that okay? I can do this Friday thing. You know, I'm able to do that. I'm a switch hitter. But the truth is, Yeshua is right. And he said to me, Devar Mayotzim Aleph, to speak the language of my heart, I have to speak the language of my parents. And that's the same with you. So it's the same language, it's Lashon HaKodesh, but it's my own way that I was raised, the way my father spoke to me. Zichron Levracha. So I hope that's okay. I think most of you are okay with that, though. If you need me to translate, I'll translate into Sfaradit, but I think you understand. People are so afraid of this time that it's easy to forget that there's no more joyous time of the year in our lives than the time we're in right now. And I think that you know the Mishnah at the end of Tanis, the Mishnah says that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, "Lahayu yom tarim liYisrael kechamisha sabaov v'kiyom haKippurim." The greatest Yamim Tovim, the greatest, most joyous days of the year are the 15th of Av and Yom Kippur. So the 15th of Av, the Gemara asks, what's that? Yom Kippur we know, because the Gemara says, Yis Beislicha Mechil, it's a day of forgiveness, of Kapara. What's the 15th of Av? So the Gemara goes on, the Gemara gives a number of historical things that took place on that day. But we all know that the 15th of Av is a Mashiach Siyantiv. When Mashiach comes, we'll understand what that is, we'll see what that is. But what's important for now is that what the Mishnah is telling us is that these 2 days share something very, very deep in common. There's something that connects these 2 days. Now, all that you and I are longing for now, right now, is to hear one word from Hashem. We would just like to hear Hashem say, Salachti, right? Salachti, I forgive you. Salachti, I forgive you. It's okay. Try to be better, let's move on. We want to hear Salachti. And we begin at the beginning of Yom Kippur. There are different customs with the things that are said. But we repeat over and over, and throughout Slichus, we repeat over and over, Yom Hashem Salachti Kidvarecha, Yom Hashem Salachti Kidvarecha, Salachti Kidvarecha. So what's interesting is that those words, Salachti Kidvarecha, you all know, those were words that were spoken by Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu after the chait, after the sin of the Meraglim, the spies. Moshe Rabbeinu was davening and crying, and all of us, and Hashem said, Salachti Kidvarecha. Salachti kidvarecha. Now you also know that the day of Yom Kippur is a tikkun, repairs, is tshuva, not for the sin of the spies, but for what? The chet ha'egel, the sin of the calf. The chet ha'egel. Yom Kippur is for the chet ha'egel. The 40 days of Elul, leading up to Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur finally, Moshe Rabbeinu came down with Slicha, Mechila, and Kapara, and since then we have Yom Kippur. Salachti Kedvarecho is after the Chekim Raglan, but we begin Yom Kippur with Salachti Kedvarecho, and all of Slichas is Salachti Kedvarecho. So Rabbeinu Osher says, the Rosh says, that after the sin of the spies, Salachti Kedvarecho means, I forgive you now, the same way that I forgave you back then, that I forgave you by the Egel. I'm forgiving you again. Hashem is Chanun Hamar B'Lislav. I'm forgiving you the way that I forgave you back then. So once again, what we see is that there's something about these 2 days, because Yom Kippur is a kapara, is a tikkun of the Chet Egel. Tu B'Av, the 15th of Av, is a tikkun for the sin of the spies. The Chet of the Maraglan. That's what Tu B'Av is. Until finally, as you remember, the last Tu B'Av, when we were in the desert, we finally, the dying stopped and we stood up from that long shiva. All those years of all Jews dying in the desert. So Yom Kippur is the tikkun of Chet Ha'egel. Tu B'Av is the tikkun of the Chet Ha'Maraglan. Move on? Understood? That's clear. All of the sins, all of the chatoim of our lives, and throughout all of the long years of our history, until Mashiach comes, until that day of Zarakti Aleichem Mayim Taharim, are deeply rooted in what happened after the Egel, the way we felt after the Chet Ha'egel, and the way we felt after the Chet Ha'Maraglan. Let me explain. Because every single one of us here knows what it feels like to ruin our lives. What it feels like to lose innocence. What it feels like after you yell at a child, even though the child is so sweet and so good, but you just lost your temper and you had a bad day and you yell at the kid and you feel horrible. Or you looked at something that you shouldn't have looked at, and then you come home and you have to smile at your wife and make believe that nothing happened. All of us know what that feels like. The beginning of those feelings go back to those terrible days of the Chet Ha'egel and the Chet Ha'Maraglan. Let me begin with Chet Ha'Maraglan. Listen carefully. Moshe Rabbeinu is our Navi, our Rebbe, and Moshe Rabbeinu reported to us at the beginning of Sefer Devarim what the Jews were thinking about, what Bnei Yisrael were feeling after the Chet Ha'Maraglan. It says in Pasuk V'tiragnu bo'aleicha that the Jews were whispering, were murmuring in their tents. We call this nowadays, there was a hak. You know the word hak? What was the hak? There's no translation. What was the hak after the Chet Ha'Maraglan? What were, like, oh boy, did we mess up? And everybody went into their tents. So Moshe Rabbeinu knew, because Moshe Rabbeinu was able to hear the hak with his Ruach HaKodesh. Moshe Rabbeinu knew what they were hacking, what they were talking about, even what they were thinking and feeling. Moshe Rabbeinu knew. So it says, V'tiragnu bo aleichem v'tomru. But the Jews were saying, behind closed, I don't know if you have doors, behind closed flaps, what Jews were saying with three horrible words that it's almost unbearable that the Torah quotes these words. But Moshe says that you were whispering, you were hacking in your tents, Vatomru, and you were saying, Bisinas Hashem Oisanu, Bisinat Hashem Otanu, Bisinas Hashem Oisanu, Hotzionu Me Eretz Mitzrayim. Do I have to translate that? Bisinas Hashem Oisanu, you know why God took us out of Egypt? Because He hates us. He hates us. It doesn't say He's unhappy with us. It doesn't say He has an issue with us. The Jews actually believed that the reason that Hashem took them out of Mitzrayim was because He hates them. He hates us. And therefore this whole business of going to Eretz Yisrael, it's a scam. It's a conspiracy. Because since they were convinced that in truth HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem despised them and hated them, then why would He be taking us to some promised land that's beautiful, that's wonderful? I, Hashem, kept on promising Eretz Zavas Chalav U'Dvash, it's a land that's flowing with milk and honey. We don't believe it. We just heard that the place is swarming with Hamas and Hezbollah, right? We just heard that Eretz Yisrael, there are giants, there are violent anti-Semites. The spies told us the truth. They came back with some grapes and some oranges, whatever. But we know. You heard. We all heard. It's an Eretz Ocheles Yosheveha. It's a land that devours the people, especially strangers come there. Especially the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are going to arrive over there, are going to come there. What kind of a greeting are we going to get? These weren't dumb people. They were tzaddikim and chashuvim. These were great people. The Chalal Jews are smart. So we need to understand. How could it be, Chevra? How could it be that after Hashem Yisbarach showed us such love, forget about the love that He had for our fathers and mothers, for Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. Forget about the love that He showed our ancestors. But He took us out, Al Kanfei Nesharim, Al Kanfei Nesharim, and the Makis, and the plagues, and the clouds, and the man, and He ripped open the ocean, Kriyas Yam Suf. He almost carried us like a mother carries a child. So how is it possible? How is it possible that we came to the conclusion? There was a consensus. Moshe wouldn't have said this if it was one shaitiv, if it was one fool talking to his wife. Vatomru, they said. In other words, this was the consensus. This was the opinion of the Jewish people. Bechlal. Bisinus Hashem Eisam. That Hashem hates us. Zachati lach chesed n'raich. Didn't we just say Rosh Hashanah? Zachati lach chesed n'raich. Ahavus klul asarich. Ah, chasna kala. Chatan kala. We went out of Mitzrayim. And now, of course we didn't believe in this whole business that Eretz Yisrael is flowing with milk and honey, and we're going to have a beautiful country. It's going to be gewaldic, and we're going to have this new place all to ourselves, and we're going to build it and make hotels and sell falafel and Chob Dizengoff. Who believes such a thing? We couldn't believe it, because if God hates us, which they were convinced that God hated them, because if Hashem Yisbarach hates us, then why would he do such a thing for us? Why would he take us to a beautiful place? Why would he give us that royal treatment if he despises us, if he loathes us? Akidekach, that David HaMelech later on in Tehillim says the words that also with his Ruach HaKodesh, what Jews were saying, Vayimasu be'eretz chemda. Vayimasu be'eretz chemda means that we were disgusted with Eretz Yisrael. We never even went. It was Vayimasu be'eretz chemda. How could they have been disgusted with a place that they never went to? We had never gone there. And if anything, we had heard beautiful stories. We heard from our Zaydis and Bobbies, from our grandparents, about Eretz Yisrael. And yet it says, Vayimasu be'eretz chemda. They were disgusted with Eretz Chemda. And Hashem calls it an Eretz Chemda. Chemda means sweet and beautiful. Vayimasu be'eretz chemda. Lo rotzim. We don't want it. If God hates us, then we're unworthy of having such a place. And Vayimasu be'eretz chemda. So how could it be that they came to that conclusion? But I'm telling you, Chevra, the reason that I'm talking to you about this is because over the years I have spoken to not hundreds but thousands of young people in particular, but also now even older, who were raised in homes where their parents tried their best to show them love, tried their best to raise them in a fair and loving way. And somehow, at some point along the way, that kid became convinced, Bisinas Hashem Oysan. My father hates me. My mother hates me. My Rebbe hates me. My Mora hates me. And I'm trying to understand this. It's true. We know that there are some homes, Lo Aleinu, there are some homes where children have reason to feel that way, that my father hates me. My mother despises me. There are such homes, but they're few and far apart. There are schools, there are classrooms where there's a Rebbe that doesn't like the boy, or a Mora that doesn't like the girl. A critical word, maybe a nasty look. But ad kedei kach, besinas Hashem oysom. I'm meeting more and more young people, and this is getting with even with older chevra, who are convinced my parents hate me, my Rebbe hates me, and from there it's just a little bit of a skip and a jump over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates me. And I'm thinking about this. I have these conversations. And I'm wondering and I'm asking, why do you feel that way? What evidence do you have? Sometimes I get horrible stories. That's true. There are homes of abuse. Hashem Yirachem. Neglect. But so many of these kids feel, and if you don't want to say hated, they feel unloved. And they grow up with a feeling of being unworthy, of being ugly, of being dirty. And of course they don't believe that Hashem loves them. And if Hashem doesn't love them, if Hashem doesn't care about them, if Hashem hates them, then why should I put on tefillin tomorrow morning? Why should I keep Shabbos? Why should I deny myself all the pleasures that the world, that the non-Jewish world are enjoying, all these different pleasures and excitement, and I have to sit here over my Sefer, over my Gemara, my Chumash, whatever, and I can't watch this, I can't do this, I can't do that? Why should I? Because of Eretz Zavas Chalav and Drash, because of some great promise that God made. Listen, God made a promise to tzaddikim, not to somebody like me. Mesinas Hashem, my son. So how did we come to such, how do Jews come to such a maskon, to such a conclusion? And I would dare say that almost everybody here, or perhaps everybody here, at some point in life, somewhere along the way, felt that a little bit. And if you have never felt it, it could be because you just don't think about things that much. There are people like that also. I once, many, many years ago, when I was little, I did something very, very dumb, that my father was surprised how I did that. And he said to me, my father said to me, "Dipstag Golem." You know what a Golem is? A Golem, like the Maharal made the Golem. Except he said, the only difference is that the Maharal's Golem didn't talk and you know how to talk. That's all. So there are some Golems in the world. But I'm not talking to a room of Beis HaMedrash filled with golems. I'm the only golem here, not you. My father said it in a very loving and funny way. So how do people think that? Where does that come from? So listen. On that pasuk, again, we're talking about after the Chet HaMeraglim. On that pasuk, B'sinas Hashem osan, Hashem hates us. The Sfarno, Sfarno says a few words. Listen to what he says. B'sinas Hashem Hayisanu. Four words. Al she'avadnu, it's actually five. Al she'avadnu avodah zara b'mitzray. So, I don't have to translate that either. You know what it means. Sfarno is penetrating into the depths of that psyche, of that mentality, of a Jew who has done something wrong in his life, of a Jew who feels that he has failed Hashem, he's failed his father, he's failed his mother. And Sfarno says, how could it be that the Jews felt that God hates them? The answer is, they didn't say this. Al she'avadnu avodah zara b'mitzrayim. Because why? Because Hashem knows that we might look really religious now, like all of us look so religious right now. We look very religious, but Hashem knows, because Hashem knows everything. Hashem remembers those nights that we were in downtown Mitzrayim, you know? That we were clubbing in Mitzrayim. That we were surfing in Mitzrayim. Hashem knows all that stuff. So we look very, very from now. We look very religious now. But the Baruch Shalom, the master of the world, knows exactly our record. He's got our scorecard. He knows exactly who we are. And we're not kidding him. We could fool the whole world. We can't fool the Creator. So what the Sfarno is teaching us is a very, very, very deep thing. And I see this so clearly. This is what's going on. The issue that Jews have, and the reason that so many Jews, especially young people, are just leaving. They're leaving Yiddishkeit. They're going off. And the reason it's so hard for even those of us who are keeping mitzvahs to really daven, to really keep things with a fire, is because deep inside, we don't have any problems with believing in God. That's not the issue. The whole world believes in the Baruch Shalom. That's not the issue. It's because we hate ourselves. Besinnes Hashem oisonu al shavadnu svorna says, al shavadnu of a deserved Mitzrayim. The reason we hate ourselves is because you and I all know that we have things in our lives, shem lo b'seder, that are not right. When I mentioned before about yelling at a kid, I still feel the shame and embarrassment when I look at my daughter, who's already over 40 years old with her own family, thinking back about how sometimes I lost it with her because she was very, very, very difficult. And after trying to put her to sleep, it took like an hour and a half of stories and this, the Baal Shem Tov, the Bedichiva, Cinderella, Lahavdil, anything I could pull out of my bag. And then finally it looked like she was falling asleep, and then I would crawl, I'm not joking, I would crawl to try to not make a sound when I was leaving the room. I would try to just, like I was in the trenches and it was the war. And I was crawling out of the room, and then she would start screaming, "Where do you think you're going?" Like, "I'm not finished with you." And then I would say, "Okay, no more stories. That's it. I'm done." And then later on, you know, and I was strong, and I scared her into sleep, you know. And then later on, I would stop by and I'd walk over to the bed. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not ashamed. I am ashamed, but we're friends, and I'm telling you the truth. I would sit on her bed, and she's so beautiful and so sweet, and I would cry. She's just a child. How come I didn't have Rachmanis on her? What's the matter with me? Because I'm nervous, because I had a long day, because I didn't have patience for a little girl. She just wanted to spend some more time with her father. Is that a bad thing? That's not a bad thing. So these things accumulate inside of us, you understand, Chavir? The mistakes we make. Ben Olam L'Chavir, with each other, Ben Olam L'Hashem, Ben Olam L'Mokom. And over time, we begin to look at ourselves in a terrible way. Of course we don't. We try not to think about that, and we don't show it to other people. But deep inside, something is broken. You know, the Sfasemis explains an amazing thing. Sfasemis, Susilin, the Sfasemis says that it was such a strange thing. We said v'nihi be'einu k'chagovim. You remember that we said that the spies. We said that we're like grasshoppers, like cockroaches in our own eyes. V'chein hayinu be'einayhem. And so, do they look at us? You know, the people that live in Eretz Yisrael, the goyim, they look at us like roaches, like grasshoppers. So Sfasem says, he really brings in the Medrash. The Medrash says, Mihigila. How did we know what the people in Canaan, what the locals over there in Canaan were saying about us? How did we know? How did we know to say that they look at us like a bunch of cockroaches? If anything, we see that Rachav, that the people heard that the Jews left Mitzrayim, and that there was a God that we had that was taking care of us. That's not what we said. We said they look at us like a bunch of roaches. So Sfasemis says, listen to the first words of the pasuk, "V'nihi be'einenu kechagavim," because we looked at ourselves like a bunch of roaches. "V'chein hayinu be'einehem," if you look at yourself as being a worthless piece of dirt. If you look at yourself as being unworthy, of being worthless, then you imagine that your mother thinks that of you as well. You think your father thinks that. You think your Rebbe thinks that. You think your friend thinks that of you. And worst of all, you think that the one who loves you more than any human could possibly love you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he despises you, that he hates you, that the truth is you hate yourself. Why? Because you worshipped a couple of idols in Mitzrayim, no? Because you were hanging out in the back seat of a car with your girlfriend in 1997. No. I'm not saying it's anything to be proud of. But all of these mistakes, all of these faults, all of these sins, over time, bring a person to this deep, oftentimes hidden feeling of worthlessness, which is one of the main reasons why at this time of the year we come to this joyous time of the year. It's a time when we can unburden ourselves. Rabbi Nachman Schusselanim in Tanyana Zayin, Rabbi Nachman says, look at the Ran, that the heaviest weight that a Jew is carrying in his life, what a Jew is schlepping, is not the boxes and the stuff. The biggest thing that a Jew is, the heaviest thing that a Jew is schlepping in his life are his averus. Masa kovei, Rabbi Nachman says, the heaviest weight in life are our averus. And the Baruch Shalom says, L'hoyim Torim Yisrael, he gave us a Yontav Yom Kippur, Slicha Mechila Kapara, to be able to L'hashlich Mitzulas Yom Kol Chatosim, to throw away with Tashlich everything. We should be so happy, we should be filled with such joy. So why is it that we come to this time of the year and you're thinking, wow, how did that go so fast? I felt like it seemed like just a minute ago that I was leaving shul last Yom Kippur, after Arvit, after Marv, I was leaving shul and I had that great feeling, you know, coffee, Danish, whatever you like. And not only that, it's a leap year, right? It means I don't have to be Yom Kippur, not a year from now, 13 months from now. I don't have to. It's a leap year. Last year, this year was a leap year. Why? It's the biggest simcha in life. It's to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He loves us. And not only that, he says, V'salachti kidvarecha, I forgive you. I understand you had a hard day. I understand what it's like. I created you that way. Because we don't want to get back to that feeling of self-hatred and self-loathing. We don't want to go to that place. We just want to keep on moving ahead in life and forget it. So we daven, we learn. You know, some of the ones who are the most honest can't bear doing that anymore. They say, forget, I can't do this. Business Hashem, I can't do this anymore. I talked to a lot of these chavos, that some of them are the most honest kids in the world. They say, I feel like I'm a hypocrite, I can't go on with this. And the parents are saying, no, you can go on. You can be a hypocrite like us. Why can't you? We've been hypocrites for the last 40 years. Can't you continue being a hypocrite? The kid says, no, I don't want to be a hypocrite like you. I don't want to worship Hashem and worship Baal at the same time like you do. I'm either in or I'm out. And Chavah, it's the same thing that happened with the... I don't have time. You don't have time either to have Yontif. It's the same thing that happened with the Egel Azav, with the gold. It's the same thing. It's the same thing with the golden calf. What happened there? So again, I'm just going to remind you. There's so much to talk about. I'm just going to remind you what happened. Moshe Rabbeinu was all the way up there. And Moshe Rabbeinu is all the way up. And this is it. This is fantastic. Kabbalah Satorah, the Torah is great. Everything is great. So you remember what happened? Gemara tells us that the angels, the Malachim, they didn't feel that man was worthy of receiving the Torah. They said, "Ma enosh kisis kirenu, uben odom kisif kidenu." The angels were saying to Hashem, they were making fun of Moshe Rabbeinu, right? And they were saying to Hashem, "Ma enosh, who's this guy?" They're saying this. Who's this guy? And the Malachim are saying, who is man? That's who you're giving the Torah to? You're giving the Torah to those lowlives down below? Who is this guy? That's who you're giving the Torah to? This guy grew up in some Egyptian palace. That's who you're giving the Torah to? What did the Malachim say? Give us the Torah. To those who dwell in heaven. We're the ones who are worthy of the Torah. That was the question. So you might think that question of my enosh kisis kirenu, the angels were asking, it's just some conversation between Moshe Rabbeinu and Malachim thousands of years ago. But the truth of the matter is that those angels, you could even call them demons, are still inside the head of a person. You're in shul. You should be coming to shul a half hour early. You should be davening with all of your heart. But there's this little voice inside that says, "My anus kisses kiran. What do you think God cares about your words? You know that your mouth is filled with lashon hara and mechilas. You know the things that you say. You know the averis that you've done." So the malach comes inside, this little malachal inside, and says, "You're davening. You're learning. You're doing mitzvahs. You're going to dress in a way that's proper, that's tzanua, a man, a woman to dress like a Jew. My enes kisis kirano. You're nothing. You're worthless." And the Malachim went on to say, human beings are liars and thieves, balei taiva, balei gaiva. Angels, we're supposed to get the Torah. So what's the answer to that? That's their taina. They have a claim. There's something to it, no? Sof kol sof, there is something to it. They have something. So Hashem didn't answer. You remember? Who remembers what happened? What does the Gemara say? Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, "Hold on to the kisa kovid. Hachzel hem tshuva. You answer." Hashem said to Moshe, "Answer them." And Hashem is saying to me and you, when we have those thoughts, those dark thoughts about how bad we are and how worthless we are and how God hates us, Hashem says, "Answer them. Answer those thoughts, those malachim, those bad malachim. Answer them." So what was Moshe in his answer? Moshe when he says to the malachim, "Listen, chaver, you're not wrong. We have a lot of problems. We make a lot of mistakes. And yeah, there are times that we steal and that we lie. And there are times that we're unfaithful. And there are times that we do things that we're very embarrassed about. But that's exactly why we need the Torah, right? That's why we need the Torah. You don't need the Torah, we need the Torah." That's what we see from the Gemara. We need to understand what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying because we need to have those words in our mouths. Or else we either go, God forbid, we either come to the same conclusion that the Jews came to, "My enes kisis kiran," which is the same thing as "God hates us." Who are we? We're cockroaches. "My enes kisis kiran," why would God even think about us? Why would he even care about us? After the stuff that I've done in my life? It's the same thing. That's why I said, Tubav, the Chet HaEgel, and the Chet HaMeraglim, it's the same thing. You understand now what I'm talking about? It's the same thing. It's that feeling after the chait. Yes, human beings sin. But how do you feel after the chait? And the tzaddikim taught us that if a Jew, after he did the worst aveir in his life, can't say a Kriya Shema that night and scream out Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad with all of his heart, he hasn't even crossed over the threshold of the holy Baal Shem Tov. He hasn't even touched the world of the Baal Shem Tov. What's the answer of Moshe Rabbeinu? So, all of these days, I'm going to end soon in Mizrach Hashem. All of these days are leading up, all of, actually from the 15th of Av, all the way through Elul, all of the Slichas of Elul, and all the way through Rosh Hashanah, Sesame Tshuva, Yom Kippur, to come finally to Ne'ilah. And in Ne'ilah, there's a sentence we say in the davening in Shemoneh Esrei of Ne'ilah. It uses the same word that the angels use when they said "Ma enosh ki siskirenu," who is man that you should even think of him. But in Shemoneh Esrei of Ne'ilu we say, "Ata hevdalta enosh mirosh, v'takireyu la'amod lefanacha." "Ata hevdalta enosh mirosh, v'takireyu la'amod lefanacha" means you have separated man and made him special, mirosh, from the beginning of time. V'takireyu la'amod lefanacha, and you see him as worthy of standing before you. It was all of Elul and all of the davening is to come to this realization that with all of our avers and all of the mistakes that we made in life, Atehev Dalta and Shmirayish, Hashem doesn't want the work, the avodah of the malachim. Hashem doesn't have his nachas, his pleasure, his joy, kivyachol, from the angels in heaven. My enosh kisis kirenu. The answer is ata hevdalta enosh miroish, v'takireu la'amod lefanacha. You know, when Adam Arishin, after he ate from the tree, after Adam and Chava ate from the tree, so Hashem says, "Where are you? Where are you?" And Adam Arishin says, "I'm hiding from you because I'm naked." And Hashem said to him, "Higid l'chakeima. Who told you that you were naked? Hamina ate. You ate from the tree. Who told you that you were naked?" So the tzaddikim say, "You know what that means? After a person does an aveira, he feels naked. He feels empty and worthless, right? If you're a thinking, feeling person, that's how you feel. You feel empty, you feel bad. You feel naked." So Adam Rishon says to Hashem, I'm naked. He wasn't talking about his wardrobe. He said, like Chazal say, I woman and I miss this, I feel empty, I feel worthless. Adam Rishon, this goes back to the beginning of time. It surfaced on a national level with the Chet Egel and the Chet Merag, but it goes back to the beginning of time. And Hashem says to Adam Arishon, who told you that you're naked? In other words, who told you that you're worthless? I never told you that I don't love you. I never told you that you're worthless. I never told you that I hate you. You made a mistake. Fix it. Take responsibility. But instead, what people do, what human beings do from the beginning of time is, he hates me, I'm worthless, I'm naked, I'm empty, and I hide. I'm hiding, which is what most people are doing, hiding. Running away. He hates me. Hashem said, I told you that. I never said that you were nothing. I never said you're worthless. That malach inside of you told you that. This snake told you that. I never told you that you're worthless. I created the whole world for you. I love you. You made a mistake? Beside it. You get a patch? Let's go further. Let's continue on. Let's work it out. Let's talk about it. So finally by Ne'ilah, we come to that realization of and in our Machzor, I don't think the Sfaradim have this in the Musaf of Yom Kippur. In the Chazaras Hashat, I don't know if you have this. We have the Ashkenazim have a very, very deep and beautiful piyut that we say in the Chazaras Hashat in the repetition of Shemoneh Esrei Musaf Yom Kippur. I don't think you have it. It's called Ashrei Masecha. Let me just read you a few words. I took it from the article in English. I'll read you a few words. Listen to a few words. This is Moshe Rabbeinu's answer, and this is our answer. Though your dread is upon the faithful angels, Hashem Asach, the angels have tremendous fear, who are mightily powerful, who are intermingled with ice, who are unique in their fieriness, ice and fire, the angels. And your awe is upon them. Angels don't sin. Your awe is upon them. Asher emasecha. Yet, you desire your praise, but you're not interested in their praise, in their davening. You're not interested in, you never gave them to put on a talisman tefillin. You never gave them to keep Shabbos and Yantiv. You never gave them to stay away from all the things that we have to stay away from. And yet you desire praise from who? Now this is talking about us. Now listen, from clods of earth, raise your hand, who dwell in a valley, whose accomplishment is meager, whose works are poor. And this is your praise, v'hisi l'asecha. The greatest praise of Hashem is that He doesn't care about the mitzvahs of angels who He created with perfection. He davka loves us because of our imperfections and because we want to become better. It's because we cry and we feel bad and then we come back to Him and we ask for forgiveness and He takes us back. That's why He loves us. Because we're human. My enosh. What's a human being? The angel said. Hashem says, what do you mean what's a human being? That a human being in this world, a clod of earth. Listen, he goes more, listen to this. Though your dread is among the multitude of angels and the movement of their camps and the assembly of thousands and your awe is upon them. Yet, you desire your praise from men whose glowing countenance changes, whose splendor becomes extinguished, who is of limited intelligence, who contemplates wickedness, and this is your praise. It goes on. You desire praise from those stained by sin, whose stain is embedded, who are ensnarled in a trap, whose livelihood is bitter as gall. Did a malach ever have to go to Midtown Manhattan? Did a malach have to go and handle with a bunch of anti-Semites in the shuk? To be in this world? That you desire praise from those of putrid deeds, disgusting actions, those who are sated with rage, who lose their temper, those who are devoid of truth, who lie, who are born by God from the womb, and this is your praise. You desire praise from flesh and blood, from vanity and nothingness, from withering grass, from a passing shadow, from a fading blossom, for those whose soul becomes terminated, whose spirit floats off, whose life flies away. Who are heard in court, who die in judgment, who live through mercy, who give glory to you, who give glory to you. O life giver of the world, and your glory is upon them. We're the ones who give glory to Hashem. That's what it's saying. Not the angels. That's the lie. That's the deception. Chevra, that's the deception. That's the lie. Amar Rabbi Akiva. What do you think I'm going to say now? Ashrei Chemisho. No. That's the last Mishnah in Yuma. And that's the whole sum total of Yom Kippur. But there's another Rabbi Akiva. Amar Rabbi Akiva in Pirkei Avos. Listen. Am Rabbi Akiva. It's the third parak. Am Rabbi Akiva. Chaviv in Yisrael shenikru bonim lamakim. The Jewish people are the most beloved to Hashem because they're His children. And He calls us His children in the Torah. Chibi yiseir nodas lahem. But they especially feel beloved because Nodaslam, because you told them this, that you love them. What does that mean? You know, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, when we had the Beis HaMikdash, so Imiyu Chateichem Kashon Kashel Gelbinu, you know that every Yom Kippur, the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash, there was a strip of red, right? It was red, deep, dark red. And you remember? Then afterwards it was by the Seel HaShem, Seel HaZazel, but first it was hanging by the Beis HaMikdash. And then all the Jewish people, millions of people would stand crowd around and they would see that the red would what? The Lashon Shel Zaharis would turn white. The Lashon Shel Zaharit would turn white. And the rabbi said, "Ah." Then he said, "Ashrechem Yisrael, lifnei mi'atim etami metaras chavinu shemayim armikus Hashem. Hashem has forgiven us." So when we were children, when we were younger, we had the Beis HaMikdash. We would know that Hashem loves us because He showed us that it would turn white. And that was the joy of Yom Kippur. But we don't have that anymore now. And if the parents don't tell the children that how much they love them. And if Hashem doesn't show us His love, and if the rebbeim, if the teachers don't show that, chibi yaseir nodas lahem. I read an article. I'm sorry, I'm taking a little bit too long. I'll try to finish very fast. I read an article last week in the Jewish Action magazine from the OU. It's written by Rabbi Kornbluth. I don't know who it is, but it was a very good article. And he was writing about how Kiruv, Rechokim, has changed over the years. Some of you remember 30, 40, 50 years ago. You certainly remember, most of you remember 20, 30, 40 years ago, that the main issues that young people were having coming out of high school and college were theological, philosophical. Not by the Sfaradim so much, but certainly by the Ashkenazim, that were very much poisoned by European culture. The main questions they came out with, how do I know that there's a God, right? So you remember they had the Torah codes? You remember that whole business with the Torah codes? Whatever happened to those? So the main thing then was you had to prove to these American Ashkenazi kids, you had to prove to them that there's a God. Historically, you have to prove that the codes, but that God exists. And then you had to have another seminar proving that the Torah is from heaven. That's how it was 30, 40 years ago. Not by the Sfaradim, but by Ashkenazim. Then there's a Torah from heaven, and then you have to say Torah Shabbat Peh. There's a whole other seminar, a whole other Shabbaton for Torah Shabbat Peh, right? You need a new seminar for that. Let me tell them all the Sfaradim are saying, Ashri Yishvei Vesech, you understand? But the Ashkenazim, all of these seminars and things. But he was writing in this article that it's totally different now. These kids now that are coming out of school, the American or the Western kids that are coming out, in England and France, the ones that are coming out from school, and in Eretz Yisrael coming from school, they don't have this thing about whether God exists or doesn't exist. That doesn't seem to be the problem. Because that was never the problem. Really. So what is it? What's the problem now? What's Kiruv about now? They're not sure that this God who exists could care less about them. They're not looking for proofs of God's existence. They're looking for proofs that their parents love them. They're looking for proofs that their Rebbe loves them. Not that God exists. They're looking for proofs of their own existence. The word they use nowadays is validation, right? To validate. You can't talk to anybody now. I had a few weeks ago, I was having a conversation with somebody. She's married to a guy, and there's some issues in the marriage. And I asked her a question about something that she had done. And she said to me, I'm telling you a quote, this is what she said to me. Your question makes me feel unsafe. That's what she said to me. And I looked, I didn't know who she was talking to. How did I make you, what did I do? How did I make you feel unsafe? I'm just asking you, I even said it like in a nice way. I try to be understanding and nice. And she says, I feel threatened by that. I feel unsafe. You know this whole woke, right? I feel unsafe. In other words, you can't bear the fact that I might be disagreeing with you. You can't take that. How this came down from Shammai before Mashiach comes, I'm not going into now. Such an inyan. This desperation for validation and love. It's unbelievable. You look at a kid the wrong way, finished. B'sinas Hashem, my son, you hate me. You despise me. It came down such a thing before Mashiach comes, because Mashiach is Ahava, Mashiach is a world of love. And all of these strange things before Mashiach comes that we're going through. So we don't have a choice, Chavra. Rabbi Akiva said, Chavivim Yisrael, the fact is that we're Hashem's children. He told us that He loves us no matter what. But Chibi Yisrael no da'as lahem. There was an old song back in the late 60s, early 70s by somebody who wasn't Jewish, and the words were, shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel. I don't remember my father's Zichron Levracha ever saying to me the words, I love you. That's not how they spoke back then. My father considered that to be a goyish way of talking. He never said that. But every single look, every single smile, every single pinch, every single knip, every single patch was, I love you more than anything that exists in the world. And I was never, ever, I never had any doubts about that. It's getting harder and harder for the children to believe that, both from Hashem and from our parents and from our teachers. So let me end with a poem. I'm not going to end with a story. I have stories to tell. You know, I like to tell stories, but I took already too much of your time. It's time for Kaparis. There's a book of poetry that I often read from to the Chevra and Shul. It's called Memo to Self, written by a woman whose real name was Sarah Rosenblatt. She calls herself Ruth Lewis. This book, you can't get this book now. They're supposed to be reprinting it, but they've been saying that for like the last 10 years. They're reprinting it with some new poems. She was a Balas Tshuva who was raised in Baltimore, here in America, back in the late 50s and 60s. She ended up in Yerushalayim. She became a Breslover Chassidista, a Breslover woman, in Mea Shearim. Her own children didn't know that she was writing all these poems secretly. She had this, I call, other persona. And she wrote some very beautiful poems about tshuva, about change. They're very deep and very real. So this one's called When I Consider. When I Consider. Listen to it. It takes a second. When I consider how you love me, you mean Hashem, with a capital Y. When I consider how you love me, I think the key word has to be unconditionally. Not because you see in me a diamond in the rough, all I could be, potentially. You know, like when you go to a parents-teachers meeting, and the Rebbe says, you know, your son really has a lot of potential. Right, that talk. A lot of potential. So the father says, they said the same thing about Mussolini. You know what I mean? He has a lot of potential. Your son has a lot of potential. He could be a Gadol Yisrael if he would just stop breaking windows in school. He has a lot of potential. So the word has to be, I think the key word has to be unconditionally, not because you see in me a diamond in the rough, all I could be potentially, but intrinsically, unconditionally, where I am now. When I consider how you love me thus and infinitely, there stirs, awakens deep in me an answering love, and I want to love you back. And then I yearn, I long to be all you've created me to be. When a Jew feels loved, then the answer is love. So, that's the whole thing. And if a Jew doesn't feel loved, then the answer is anger and hatred, or running away and hiding. The bracha that I give to all of you who I love so much is that you should know how loved you are. And your children and your grandchildren should know how loved they are. And your friends should know how much they love you. And you should know how much they love you and how much you love them. Until for the zarcha to that day, well, once again, we'll be able to see the red turning white. We'll be able to see the loving face of our fathers and mothers, of the Ovos and the Emos, and of David Malkin, Mashiach, of the Gulash of Amitis, from Heavy Amen, Amen, Amen.